finishing up chapter, hopefully we're going to finish up chapter 20 today, and we will start on verse 15, and then perhaps get into chapter 21 in a little bit. We'll see how it goes. Summarize, it was a super day yesterday. Super day. Great attendance. I thought to myself, why didn't we encourage all those people to be here to support Betty Hill this morning? We have it full. It was good to see. Guesses on how many people were here. Anybody got any guesses?
All I know is the pews were full.
Over 200.
Yeah, but
supposedly this building will hold 220 people comfortably, without too many blank spots. And we were close. They're right there. Starting off with verse 15, Proverbs. This is one of those things in the very first chapters of the book where they were telling you the value of trying to obtain God's wisdom and seeking it like you would precious jewels. It goes back to that point where he says there is gold, an abundance of rubies. In other words, there are treasures out there. There are things that we as human beings thrive for, wish we had, struggled to get. He says, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel, as if gold and rubies are precious in God's eyes. They're more precious in our eyes than they are God's. But he says knowledge is a precious jewel that we should strive to obtain, as we would try to obtain those other jewels out there. We would indeed try to get knowledge that way. Well, that verse has been covered at least from the first, going back to the first chapter, at least 3 or 4 or 5 times. So that should be in our memory bank by now, that we shouldn't have to have any problem knowing what God means there. Number 16. Does anybody have any comments they want on that? Want to add to that? Number 16. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and hold him in place that is surety for foreigners. First of all, we know that God tells us don't go there in the first place. Don't co-sign, don't go on pledges for anybody. If you can't afford to give it and lose it, then don't ever do it. Don't put yourself in a position where you run the risk of changing your family structure, or the benefit of the care of your family for a stranger. He says, but if you do it, particularly for a stranger or a foreigner, which is someone that's not really close to you, take a collateral. Take something for collateral that you can be sure that if they don't pay you, you're going to get it back. Don't do it under normal circumstances, but if you do it, find yourself doing it. And it's a stranger. Doesn't say for your kinfolk, but if a stranger, then you get something in your hand that's collateral. A bank will not lend you money unless you put up something for collateral. They're going to get their money back. Okay? Everybody fully understand what we're saying here. Don't do it in the first place. Stay away from it if you can't afford to lose it. But if you do it, especially for a stranger or foreigner, same thing, stranger, and get collateral. Get something where your family doesn't suffer because of a stupid mistake you made. The mistake.
And the wayward woman is unreliable? I mean,
I don't have a wayward, wayward woman.
Oh, you don't have a wayward woman in your book?
I don't. Read yours. You on verse 16 now?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and read it.
Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if he does it for a wayward woman.
Mine says foreigner.
Yeah, it's an outsider, mine says.
Oh, that's out of there.
Okay.
It could very well include that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Number 17, bread of falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Instead of bread, let's put that in that word, their food. Food of sin. You can put for falsehood of sin. Is inviting and enticing to a man. It's attractive. We know that sin's attractive. That's how it captures so many of us. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. You have to face God for the consequences. And you will face God for the consequences of what you've chosen. Just common sense, I tell you. If you get it in certain ways, you're going to pay for it by God. Okay, 18. No questions on that one, huh? 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and by wise guidance make thy war. Every, notice he said every, on all decisions that you make, seek counsel. First of all, seek God's counsel in his book. Seek his wisdom in there. And if you know some godly friends that have maybe gone through that, or have been through what you're thinking about buying, or have what you think about buying, seek some counsel from them. And by wise counsel, guidance make war. You know, that very subject was covered in Luke 14, 31. In fact, Jesus covered it when he said, what king, when he goeth to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Because that's the most severe situation you could be in to make a decision on whether you're going to war. But it's only common sense that you seek counsel. Try to avoid that. Try to avoid the consequences of a long-term battle or war, or for having to pay the price because you just didn't ask somebody. Just didn't get advice on something. Too often we're too private to do that. I can answer that. I don't need any answers over there. I got that. But it's all pride, which is a sin within itself.
Remember, you only listen to one side. You only listen to people that say yes.
Agree with you. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear anybody say, hey, that's a bad decision. Don't do that. We don't want to hear that. Yeah, Chuck.
I wish my memory would allow me to recall, but the gist of it is, when I was taking the business management course, they were talking about something in this realm where the owner and the top executives were going round and round about some kind of decision that they wanted to go to do, to make, to go, to either go forward or, and they were just going back and forth. And so they took a break from their heavy discussion and they went down to the break room. And it just so happened to be one of the employees was cleaning the break room. And so, of course, he's there cleaning, minding his own business. But the discussion, again, was brought back up, what was going on in the meeting, in the office. And then the owner just looked over at him, saw him, and says, "What do you think?" They gave them the answer that they needed. Yeah, he gave them the answer that they needed. So, the example being, the person who has the answer may not be the one you think could have the
answer. Could have the answer. Good morning, honey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, because we've talked about the value of wisdom and how it would help you in all phases of your life, and but whatever the price you have to pay for it will come back to you by good wisdom. I'm thinking about all the people who are in advisory positions with the companies. If you had good godly wisdom and it comes around to your turn to contribute, you know, to the answer of it. And if you continue to make good decisions on what you know about it and give them to the management, you'll go up in that company. You'll be known for making wise decisions. You'll go to the top of that. Yeah, Chuck.
And, one of the things that we've learned when we were getting ready to deploy to war for Desert Shield, that the commanders, the higher commanders, were finding out that the lower commanders were not 100% honest in their readiness. They found out that their equipment wasn't up to par. They found out that the people weren't trained to standard. They found out all these things when the rubber hit the road. And so again, you can seek guidance, but it's only as good as the source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they're not honest, if they don't have integrity, if they're looking out for quote unquote their career and not becoming a yes man, then yeah, they'd rather be honest, of course, according to God's will, that's the plan always. Rather be honest and truthful than to be the popular guy.
If I haven't misunderstood some of the consequences of the fall of Iraq, us going to war with Iraq, we knew we had the power, we could overwhelm them militarily. But we hadn't thought out what's going to happen when you leave that board there. When you take out their leaders, then what are you going to do with that board there? And we're still paying for that, not having that answer. You know, we just thought that everybody would be happy and kumbaya because the Americans are in here. No, no. You know, we're fighting right now amongst themselves and fighting against us. We didn't take into account when you take their leadership out, what kind of a leadership would you put back in there that would have control? A lot of consequences, particularly when you have something as powerful as war. Okay. Here's 19. This is one you need to listen to here. "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets." Those that want to come up here and tell you something on to the side or whisper this in your ear. If you keep his company, he's going to talk about you. If that's the kind of friend you got, he's going to talk about you. He's not just going to bring you tales about somebody else. He's going to go to somebody else and tell you tales.
I wrote a poem called "Bringing and Carrying Bones."
Huh? Mm-hmm.
"Bringing and Carrying Bones."
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the ideas I had in my head, is sure somebody brings something to you, they're going to take something away too.
Okay.
It may not be right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It happens. I mean, if they will do it, if they are that type of person, or if I'm that type of person, and I tell it to you, you better believe that I'll probably be telling somebody else over here something about you. So just don't go, first of all, don't listen to them. And most of all, don't carry it forward. Okay?
The only way to keep a secret, if you kill them when you told them.
That's a motto of the intelligence in this country, isn't it? Your hand went up.
I was just going to say, when I attended the Hope Bible Church, I took care of an elderly lady we had over there. And one of her friends called me one day, and she says, "Why are you so nice and taking care of her? You ought to hear what she's saying about you." And I said, "You know what? If she's talking about me, she's going to leave everybody else alone."
It amazed me what people tell for themselves.
I know it.
And so many times people come to me and told me some things at work that they didn't want anybody else to know. Don't tell anybody that I got to talk to somebody. So there I am. I got this thing. People, then all of a sudden, people from, you know, I ain't talked to them, they're coming to me saying, "Hey, did you hear?" And that put me in a very uncomfortable situation. I had to lie. I mean, lying's wrong, but I had to lie because I told the man I wouldn't tell him about it. But then in the meantime, he's gone and flapped his gums to everybody else that he didn't want me to talk to.
And then he puts you in a bit uncomfortable position.
Judy, which one of your granddaughters is in Secret Service?
Both of them.
Both of them. I remember you telling me one day, you asked one of them, like, what are they going to do? She said, told you, if she told you, she had to get you. Her own grandma. She said, "If I told you, I had to get you." Well, we take that as a joke, but just don't get involved in that. Goodness gracious. It's so petty.
People no longer trust you.
Right.
I mean, it's people have confidence in you to keep what they told you, whatever it may be, and then you go about blabbing about it. I mean, that's not a good way to do this, and people will lose trust in you. You hurt feelings.
Yeah.
You know, it's a.
You can lose friends forever.
It can do a lot of damage.
You can lose friends forever or something like that.
Brother Jared.
Yeah.
So again, we could learn a lot from that, but also let's think about how when a brother or sister comes to you with a confidence and asks to pray for them in regards to that, that, again, use discernment and don't come forward in front of the whole congregation to let them know what they're going through, because that was a shared comment. Of course, there are times when it's necessary to bring it to the congregation, or maybe that was their original desire. But if you're privileged to be asked to pray for them on a situation that's supposed to be confident, then we'll pray about it. But of course, we know that God knows about it already. But the point being, your brother and sister needs to have the assurance that what they share with you stays with you.
Exactly.
And I know it's a challenge, because some relationships were between man and wife. One of the spouses went, "What did you say? What did he say?" It's just between us. And she's your sister in Christ. You know, so there's a lot of maturity level involved when we're talking about the confidence.
Wisdom. Use wisdom in that thing. How you handle that thing. Use wisdom. There's one of the aspects of wisdom you might want to do there is that, let's you and I go together and talk to them about that. Let's resolve this thing. Rather than taking it to somebody else, let's go to them and let's talk about it if it bothers you that much, rather than just take them aside or pass it on privileged information. Good. That's all about wisdom. That's what we're in here for. Number 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in blackness of darkness. I tell you, in the Old Testament, they said that child should be put to death. The Exodus, Leviticus, even in Matthew, even in Matthew 14. Go ahead, Diane, what you got?
I think when a child does that to the parent, it destroys something to the parent that just, I don't know if it can be fixed or it takes a very long time to, you know, to make it right. It's just a sad situation.
It takes a long time. It happened in my family with my brother and it just really destroyed both of my mom and dad as far as the relationship with him. And it's a heartbreak. It's a really big heartbreak. And it festered into with my other brother and then whiplashed back at me to where I had to really stop and figure out how do I handle this?
Yeah.
How do I handle this?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in a way, I love my brother. But yet I knew what he'd done to my parents. So how do I deal with this? And it took a long time, a lot of prayers, a lot of soul searching to, first of all, confront him about it, and then second of all, to be able to forgive him.
Most all the siblings are hurt when that's involved.
Yes.
Most all
yes.
of them. It's just not one person, two people, it's all of them. Let me read you something that I picked up in one of the commentaries. In America today, a teenager may murder his parents, claim child abuse as an excuse, get off with 10 years probation and a year of psychiatric counseling at the state's expense. When will we ever learn? When will we ever learn? Let's talk about and Satan dimming our lights.
Mm-hmm.
Dimming our lights. Number 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. A prime example of that is the prodigal son. One his share, one his share, one his share. Went out in the world and blew his share and lost all the friends, so-called friends he had out there, and then came to come back. Just begging for something to eat. Or it could pertain to a child who takes over a very prosperous business that his father has as an inheritance and then neglects it or spends all the profits or mishandles it profusely, carelessly, and then they end up filing bankruptcy in the end. And I've known many a good business. Established businesses were very prosperous back in his day, where the child inherited it and didn't pay attention to it or wasn't prepared for it, or squandered it. Or a lot of places they squandered it and it blown out. And I think of one that I saw formed right down the road here, King's Barbecue, when I was six, seven, 8 years old. Established by two brothers, King, the last name was King. And then it spread out to the way they had branches everywhere. And the last one just closed over on Crater Road, I guess about 6 months ago, 7 months ago. It's all out of business. And they were well known. At one time before they had 95, everybody came through Petersburg on Route 1, over 301, and that was a place they would stop and get King Barbecue or King Pie, King's Apple Pie. Was just well, that well known. Okay. Anybody have any thoughts on that hastily inheritance? Actually, too much money in someone's hand very hastily gets most people in trouble. Most of us.
Uncle Bob used to call it new money versus old money.
New money, that's right.
So you can tell somebody new money, they're spending.
Yeah.
The whole money is holding on to it.
Holding on to it. You know, it's the fact of life, it's not how much money you make in life, it's how much money you save in life. You know that? If you went back and took all the money that's passed through your hands, it's not how much money you actually made. How much were you able to put away? How much were you able to, and I'm not talking about hoarding, I'm talking about using wise decisions of being conservative. we've all made piles of money. And most of it just passed right through.
Can't take any of it with you, so what's your point of savings?
Because you
got
to live until you die.
I tell you, I used to
don't want
to be a neighbor. Think I wouldn't live to be that old. Well, you better plan just in case you do.
Right, we're putting some in savings, but we're not saving everything.
That's right. Well, no one's opposing that. In fact, if you have an abundance, and when I said abundance, even if it's just a little bit more than you need, then of course we're to share it. You know, we're to help the poor. We're to help God's people with what we have. But we're really talking about squandering, what we're talking about. We're talking about not using it wisely. God doesn't condemn money itself. That's the way it's used. The power it has over you. You can live very frugally. But if you don't have any excess, then you really can't help many people financially, I'm talking about. So it's all right to have money as long as you're willing to use it effectively for God purposes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all right. You can be a rich man. It's tough, but you can be a rich man. And make it to heaven if you use that money wisely. God knows your heart. God knows your heart.
Jason, yeah. Mine was written. An inheritance quickly gained at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. Is that saying like if an inheritance, that's what you give your kids or whoever you want to give it to, it shouldn't be a one lump sum, it should be given a little at a time maybe? Is that an inheritance quickly gained at the beginning? I'm not sure if that's fair.
You know your kids better than anybody else in the world.
Right.
You got to be wise in your decisions. Can they handle it? You know whether or not they can handle it. How have they handled it up to this point? You know, how have they done to this point?
Think of the prodigal son. You know, he wanted it before dad was even dead, and that didn't come out
well.
So that's the story I've got for that verse.
We're all of us have children faced with that very thing. If we have any extra,
right.
You know, at what amount does it go, you know, to the child? Who's responsible? Who's irresponsible?
Right.
Could be end up the whole family end up being poor. When that means that then they can't be doing much good for those that are poor also.
Right. Okay. Well, we're spending our kids'
inheritance,
so they're not
getting anything. You're right. Amy, you're right, though. We leave this world, we're not going to take anything.
We're not. Nope.
Because where we're going, we're not going to need it.
No, right.
Nope.
No.
But we help people along. I don't want you to think we're like that. It's just my kids, they don't want anything I have. They've already told me that. Not that junk. Oh, thanks, hon. I feel better now.
See, we're getting wiser in this
class.
I can tell we're getting wiser.
I'm just wondering.
Is it that old stuff?
Yeah. Right.
For example, Kim's never worked. So if something would happen to me, my savings and what I'm prepared to need to take care of her.
Right.
Because even though I'm not here, I'm still responsible. I had a huge blessing by her being able to raise those kids mm-hmm. and not working. God blessed me in so many ways. We squeezed a penny like 5 times to get what we needed when those kids were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And we're better off now.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be wise on your planning and what you're doing, because you still have responsibilities even after you're gone to your family. And Kim's a perfect example. Something happens to me first, I still need to make sure she's taken care of.
Let me make a point in this class. There's no poor people in here.
Yep.
You're talking about poor people. Just look at some of these countries. That,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they're still hunting out there with bows and arrows and stuff. They're poor. sitting here with nice clothes on, this nice building, being in a nice car. We can't, we want to deny, I'm not, I ain't as rich as that, but I ain't got as much stuff. But that's not a standard that you compare yourself to. Compare yourself to Jesus. He had nothing. Nothing. Name a place to lay his head. Yeah.
Jerry, I read somewhere that that we plain people that even just live from day to day to day, have a whole lot more than King David ever had.
I've often said that King David or Solomon could have a pair of nice Nike shoes that we run in, those $100 shoes, those soft shoes that keep that sand and gravel out of the, between their toes. They could run in that desert and their feet wouldn't get hot. How much of that dollars would they have given for a pair of Nike shoes that we just take as ordinary?
What kind of transportation did he have? Yeah, right. And we're riding in cars.
What you're talking about right there makes me wonder sometimes. Cause I know there are a lot of Christians in the world, and I might have been one of them at the time, that talks about how bad things are, just getting bad. Mm-hmm. And it's never been this. Things have been a whole lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
And things ain't getting worse. They're getting better. In 2,000 years since the time of Christ, look at the advances that God has allowed us to have.
Yeah.
The things that God has, the technology and mm-hmm. mankind, what that God, that technology and things didn't come with God, mm-hmm. without God's approval. You know, God making things better.
He blessed us with.
You can walk into a room and flip the switch and have all the light you need. You know, you don't have food, I mean, all the blessings that we have, that God blessed us more yeah. this year than he did last year, and where I don't even know how.
Right.
I don't know how anymore. Where the blessings are. I mean, there are going to be more, but I just can't see it getting no better. You know, it's going to get better all the time. It's not getting worse.
We don't really realize how many blessings we have each day.
People have always been. You've always had bad people. You've always had good people. You've always had hard times, and you've always had good times. But if you look at the trajectory of what God has given us, it's always better and better. Yeah. He blesses us every day.
And count your blessings. Count your blessed name in one by one.
We don't do that.
We count our wants, but we don't count our blessings. Okay. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. Wait for Jehovah, and he will save thee. This has been repeated over and over, and it's going to be repeated some more before we get through it. God. Vengeance belongs to God. Deuteronomy tells us that. 32:35. Romans tells us that. I will recompense, saith the Lord. We don't seek vengeance. We do not try to usurp his authority. That's what we're doing when we seek goodness.
We're told to pray for those who do us wrong.
Well,
and leave vengeance up to God. You know, though, Jerry, if you pray for those that do you wrong, you can't hate them. Because if you care enough to pray for them, there is no more hate there. There is no more wanting to get even with them.
You know, in Proverbs, it's kind of covered this in another way. You know, with that tongue that we have right there. When someone says something to us, we want to fight over that thing. We want to seek vengeance. Somebody's going to get blooded. Maybe both of you. But you're going to pay for it. You're trying to take that vengeance, your vengeance on someone. And you're going to get hurt. And in a lot of cases, in many cases, the people have been killed by doing that. People pull out a gun or a knife now without even thinking about somebody's life anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, people argue over dumb things, and each one wants to be right. I'd rather hold my peace and then let circumstances prove wrong or right.
God will prove.
Yeah.
Anybody got any thoughts or questions on that? That's another one of those things that's been, we've covered over and over again. God is trying to sink this in our mind. He says, I will recompense them. I will seek vengeance on them. You leave my authority alone. Here's another one we've been over several times. Diverse weights are an abomination to Jehovah, and a false balance is not good. Back in those days, and we've covered this over again, in fact, it's verse 10 even here in this book, in this chapter. You were at the mercy of those people who had the stones, and the stones were supposed to represent this and that. They could juggle stones and you'd never know. We had no digital computers or wares that we could compare something to. Even a gallon of something. You know, they could say this is a gallon, put it in another container and be a little bit less than a gallon. And God hates for us to take advantage of people that way. In any shape or form. Another way we're saying is you buy something and get them down, and bargain them down to a ridiculous low price, and then you're going to say, look what I got. Look what the bargain I got. And the poor fellow's over there just trying to get a fair price for his product. And you bargain it out of it. Doesn't mean you're supposed to not be a good business person, but you do it fairly. And God will bless you for that deal that you made. Any thoughts? Didn't you?
Well, while we were in Europe, we saw that a lot of the glasses at the restaurants, they actually had a mark on the glass to indicate whether it was half liter or full liter, because that's I guess back in the day that used to be an issue that about the drinks, and so they took care of that. They would actually mark the glasses so you know that you got what you asked for. Mm-hmm. That's how they took care of that.
I remember when I was a child, we had to a metal can that we used to be sent out to go get fresh milk, and it had the marks in it. So they couldn't cheat you. If the milk didn't reach the level, then you knew they were trying to cheat you out of it. And I remember Mama always telling me, you better look inside it and make sure it's right where it's supposed to be.
Did anybody remember when they used to chip ice for ice boxes? So the guy said, you didn't know whether you were getting a 25-cent piece of ice or you were getting a 30-cent piece of ice. You didn't know. That many chips were flying away. You just didn't know.
Jeff, back in the day when we were living in Mexico, because of circumstances, there was an ice man who'd come along and knock on the door and say, do you need ice today? And then they say 1 or 2 kilos or whatever, and they go chucking it off, and I remember him shoving it in the bottom of the ice box. And
that was a refrigerator
back in those days.
Before they had these fancy ice boxes, they make chipped ice there in these fancy ice boxes.
Jerry, I must be okay with the dishonest scale, because I buy Lay's potato chips all the time. And it ain't right. And it ain't right.
That's a lot of air.
That's a lot of air in that game.
That's a new way, by the way. And you gotta believe that Satan has a hand in this thing. Sometimes they don't reduce the price as much as they reduce the content.
Exactly.
You're not getting what you used to get for the same price.
There ain't such thing as a half gallon of ice cream anymore.
I know it. Yeah.
Or 2x4.
Oh, that's not right. Thing.
And I know all about that. You get your half inch every which way.
Well, I'm about to come after Dominion Electric. My prices keep going up, and I'm not getting any better power.
Okay. Number 24, man's goings are of Jehovah. How then can man understand his way? This is one of those proverbs that's going to require some deep thought and thinking about. If nothing else, it stresses the absolute sovereignty of God, how powerful that he is, and how all knowing that he is compared to our thinking. I don't know, other than the fact, you know, that our life is even a mystery to ourselves. Some parts of our life are even a mystery. How we got here, what happened to us, why it happens to us. God knows all these things. We just don't know.
You know, Jerry, according to this, there's something you always say, and it always stuck with me. You always said, if God wills, we will do this or that. You know, and it's true. We can make all the plans we want, but if God don't want you to go in that direction, you ain't going to do it.
Right. It's just some things that happen to us in life. We want to say, well, how lucky he was. The circumstances are such that God has a hand in that, and we just can't explain it how it happened. And we struggle with it. We struggle to see, well, I did this, so I deserve this, and God gave me this. That's beyond us. That's beyond us. I don't believe in luck. I just want to tell you that. I just don't believe in luck. I think there's a purpose for everything.
I think if we all look back on our lives, we can see how God has guided us each step of the way. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing for accident or whatever.
I'm amazed, Judy, of how many of my prayers that I prayed for that weren't answered by a way that turned out to be the best way.
Yeah.
Exactly. It ended up being the best way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, number 25. It is a snare for man to rashly say it is holy and after vows to make inquiry. Again, it's going to require some deep thought here. You can make ill-advised vows or agreements. Sometimes people under sudden impulse make pledges,
yeah,
even to benevolent and religious causes, which are literally beyond their means. And this is a proverb warning you against that kind of behavior. Don't make a rashless pledge that you can't back up. And that you've got to come back later and say, well, I shouldn't have done that. I don't have the money to do that. I can't afford to do that. God doesn't want you to pledge anything to him that you haven't thought about wisely and considered how you're going to accomplish that pledge.
So don't make promises you can't keep.
That you can't keep.
Okay.
That you can't keep. It's a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider, I wish I hadn't done that. I really can't do that. Or worse still, just don't make any attempt to do that. It's best.
And Ananias is
fired. Huh? What?
The two in Acts, and Ananias is fired.
Made a pledge.
I can't remember what the name is.
Ananias is fired.
Ananias is fired. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 26, a wise king winnoweth the wicked and bringeth the threshing wheel over them. When he says winnoweth, he some way, somehow punishes them or gives them or spreads them out. And bringing the threshold wheel over them is, in those days, was literally destroying them in a very brutal way. I don't know how I could say that anymore. If you can imagine a threshold wheel going over people, what it would do to them, those heavy, giant wheels. That was serious punishment. King David was guilty of such destruction in 2 Samuel 12:31. If anybody wants to look up a comparison to that. All right, I'm sorry I can't finish. I thought I was going to finish this up, but I don't like to take time away from other parts of this, so we're going to stop right here and pick it up right here next Wednesday. I mean, next Sunday morning. Thank you guys for being here. Ponder over that. The danger is that Satan is dimming our lights. So slowly, darkness seems normal to us now. I wanted to discuss that. We might discuss that next week. Thank you, guys.